In some states, if you owe a small property tax debt, you can end up losing your entire home. Yes, and all the equity that you've built up in it. It's a process called home equity forfeiture or home equity theft, sort of the gross stepsister of civil asset forfeiture and eminent domain. And well, our guest today is one of the people who's out there in the States pushing back against this policy. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. That aforementioned guest is Jim Manley. He is the State Legal Policy Deputy Director at the Pacific Legal Foundation, and he joins us now to talk about home equity theft. Jim, thanks for taking some time with us.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've got some great news out of Idaho that I want to get to. But first, I imagine this is a topic that most people probably haven't ever encountered, thankfully, and that many people probably haven't heard about. So tell us a bit about what home equity theft, home equity forfeiture actually is.
Most people, when I tell them what it is, don't believe me that it's a real thing. What it is when the government collects a property tax debt and takes not just what's owed, but the entire property. So we represented a man in Michigan who accidentally underpaid his taxes by $8.41. The notices went to the wrong address, and the county took and sold his home and kept every penny of it, over an $8 debt.
I remember writing about that story for Reason when you guys first filed that lawsuit, or right before you did, and I had the exact same reaction that you're talking about there, where I didn't believe the first time I heard about this, like, wait, this is really a thing that could happen. You could lose hundreds of thousands of dollars possibly in equity over a very small tax debt, but it is a thing that happens. There are laws on the books in a number of states that allow it to happen, but there's one fewer state where this can happen now, thanks to what went on in Idaho last week.
Yeah, and fortunately, Idaho was a state where this didn't happen routinely. There was a loophole in Idaho, and there's a loophole in 9 other states now that allows the government to simply keep the property. If it decides that it wants to use it for a public purpose and there's a tax debt on it that hasn't been paid after a couple of years, the government can just decide to keep it. And so it's eminent domain without a condemnation, just sort of a backdoor taking, no compensation paid to the owner, and the government gets to walk away with the property free and clear. And fortunately, that can no longer happen in Idaho.
Tell us a little bit more about exactly what the reforms in Idaho do, and I guess is this like a model for what other states could look to do to prevent this, you know, this sort of thing from happening to more people?
Yeah, so right now there are 9 states that do this routinely and 9 states that have a loophole, what we call a loophole, like Idaho. In the 9 states that do it routinely, what they generally do is they will foreclose on the tax debt, and that either means the government owns the tax debt and it forecloses on its lien, or in some states, the government will actually sell the tax debt right up front to an investor, and then the investor gets to collect the taxes and interest, and in most cases, homeowners pay off the property taxes. The investor gets a great interest rate, as high as 16-20% in some states, and the tax debt's paid. But in those states where the investors own the tax debt and the tax debt is not paid, they can walk into court and say, give me title to the property. And that's the case in states like Arizona, Colorado, 7 other states right now. And so then you've got your loophole states like Idaho, where that doesn't happen routinely. Ordinarily, when the government has a property tax, delinquent property, they'll simply sell it, pay off the tax debt, and give the rest back to the owner of the property. It's just in those rare situations where the government decides to keep it that it ends up taking all of the equity. And there are still 8 states, or 9 states on the books right now. There's a bill actually heading to the governor's desk in Wisconsin, very similar to the Idaho bill, that will solve the problem there too.
Great to see that we're having some progress on this in other places as well. I mean, as you point out, there's really sort of like a predatory cronyism element to this too. It's one of these things that honestly, the more you look at it, I mean, it seems insane when you first look at it, and then it actually just gets worse and worse the more you learn. Folks can learn more about this by checking out PLF's work at pacificlegal.org. They do a lot of fantastic work on this topic and on a bunch of other things. We're talking with Jim Manley. He's the State Legal Policy Deputy Director for PLF. Jim, not a lot of time left here, but I do want to mention there was a case that you guys took all the way to the Supreme Court. I think this was a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, and Chief Justice John Roberts had a great line in the majority opinion where he said that the taxpayer must render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but no more. If the Supreme Court sort of put an end to this with that ruling, why is it still going on in a bunch of states?
that unanimous ruling is actually the reason that the states are so active right now. This is not a situation, oftentimes when the Supreme Court decides a case that something's unconstitutional, just stop it is what the states need to do to respond. The tax foreclosure process is so complicated in every state and unique in every state that we needed to go in and actually change the laws to address this decision. And so that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing states react to our win in the Tyler case and to wipe these laws off the books and reconfigure their tax foreclosure process so that it doesn't take equity any longer.
Well, it's great to see that. It's great to see states heeding this directive from the Supreme Court and making these changes. And of course, great to see you folks at PLF leading the charge on all of this, taking it to court, winning in court, and then following through with the policy changes at the state level. Jim, thanks so much for taking some time and walking us through all that today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for bringing attention to the issue.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Really appreciate that. Again, you can check out PLF's work online at pacificlegal.org. Really fantastic stuff that they do on a variety of topics. Check out our coverage of this issue and other issues that are happening in D.C. and in state capitals around the country at reason.com. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.